and KT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for your next mortgage loan. The team at Indigo Mortgage will give you a clear and concise loan estimate. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Give them a call at 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Ben Lucero, much appreciated. He's the owner of Indigo Mortgage. My friend John Jones, the president of LifeQuest Ministries, is here, and he's brought a young man, Sean Meredith, who used to be part of LifeQuest, and we're anxious to hear about the big story. John, last time when we spoke, you were excited about your new 413 journey. Tell us more about that.
We're so excited about this new program we're launching. In fact, we're about a month away. And the 413 journey comes from Philippians 4:13. Mm-hmm. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But as opposed, historically, our ministry has been 80% inside juvenile facilities and 20% out, following kids out into the community. We're flipping that to where 20% of our ministry will be inside facilities, but 80% will be out. And there's two reasons for that. Number one, fewer and fewer kids are being incarcerated today. And this is a national movement. This just isn't New Mexico. But when I moved to New Mexico 8 years ago, there were 600 kids incarcerated in state facilities. Today, there's right at 100. So a huge decrease in the population in these juvenile facilities. But the other thing is that Chris Youngblood and I have talked for years. Chris is an avid adventurist, enthusiast, hiked the Grand Canyon 48 times. He's just a beast. And
by the way, since he's not here, we are going to make fun of him during this program.
Absolutely.
Just want to qualify that.
Well, we try to do that daily. But no, we love Chris. So Chris literally was given a vision for the 413 journey. And what it is, we're going to be teaching biblical character traits. We'll be talking about faith and wisdom and integrity and humility and just 12 different topics. So we'll do a classroom setting teaching every 2 weeks, but then there'll be an adventure. And it can be hiking, ropes course, rock climbing. We've added an equestrian piece in the last week. We've got a full-day music camp where kids literally will learn to play an instrument and do a rock concert at the end of the day. But the main thing is, just like we do in the facility, it's going to be building relationships with young men and young women. And again, with the hope being that every young man, every young woman that comes out of the 413 journey will have a mentor, will have someone older that's a little further down the path on their own journey to walk beside them, love them, and keep pointing them to Jesus. Because really, what else is there? That's what we do, right?
Absolutely. John, I want to qualify one thing that you've
yes.
said. You mentioned that there were as many as 600 young people incarcerated when you first got
Correct.
Together with LifeQuest.
Yes.
And now there's 100. But I do want to make sure that we all understand that there's still an awful lot of juveniles in the juvenile justice system.
Absolutely.
And there's some kids that maybe should be incarcerated that are not.
I'll leave that to the wisdom of our judges. But here's what I would tell you. Yes, there are thousands of kids in the juvenile justice system, probation, et cetera, et cetera. And that juvenile crime is not down. You might have seen the journal yesterday. Violent crime was up in Albuquerque in 2020. We are one of the fastest rising cities in the country for violent crime. So, but our point is, how do we get to a kid? And we talk about kids that we see in what we would say is the danger zone, okay? Maybe they're not incarcerated yet. Maybe they've had contact with probation. Or maybe they're just having problems at school, truancy, though that's kind of hard to measure right now, obviously. But how do we get that kid before they end up incarcerated? How do we get to them before they're locked up? And we believe that relationships change lives. Certainly our relationship with Christ has changed our life. But we all probably had someone walking beside us or pointing to, or I would say rarely do I meet anyone that just woke up one day and went, I think I need Jesus. And believe me, I've asked God a number of times, why do you trust us with this message? And I think the answer I've heard was, you're all I got. But no, seriously, it's about relationships. And when they asked Jesus, think of this, to ask him what the greatest commandment was, obviously he could have said anything, but what did he say? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second closely following the first, love your neighbors yourself. All the law and the prophets are fulfilled in these two commandments. So, obviously, relationships must be critical. Relationship with God, relationship with others. And that's our hope for the 413 journey, is we build relationships with these young men and women. And the hope is that those relationships will last a lifetime, because there's nothing better. I've known Sean now for going on 8 years. I mean, he was probably, I'm almost sure, the first young man I met at LifeQuest when I got there. Stellar young man, just shining every moment of every day. I can't even say that with a straight face.
If we had video, you'd see an expression on Sean's face where he's kind of smirking, going, oh, yeah, right. So, Sean, let's introduce you. You were part of LifeQuest. John's already described that. But you weren't part of LifeQuest because everything was going smooth.
No, I definitely wasn't. It's funny, actually, that when I met John, I didn't even know what I was going to do. My mentor at the time was like, hey, we have this event, and you know, I'd like you just to kind of memorize these questions and figure out your answers to them. I was like, okay. And then the morning he picks me up, he's like, hey, you're going to be speaking at this banquet. And I'm like, wow, okay. So it seems like LifeQuest has always pushed me and threw me in further than I would do on my own. So that's definitely a pro. But yeah, I was incarcerated. I was out in and out of incarceration since I was 15 years old, and it ended with a year commitment at YDDC. And, I was very stubborn. So I saw LifeQuest along the way, and they'd keep reaching out, and I'd be like, no, I'm not ready yet. And finally I hit a point where it was, you know, me at my last stretch in a home in Carlsbad, and I still wasn't getting the message. And, you know, I ended up with a gun to my head and a cop on top of me. And, you know, it was kind of like thinking of the teachings from LifeQuest and the mentors from, you know, being in the D home before. I'm like, where am I headed at this point? So at that point I was kind of like, okay, yeah, I do need you, Jesus. You know, once I got my commitment, I really, started clinging to what God had for me. And, you know, that was really through LifeQuest. They had mentors. They had people willing to meet with me, you know, multiple times a week. So it was just a true blessing to have them there. Then once I got out, the mentors was like, hey, just call me. You know, what stinks is he gives everyone his card and very few calls. So there's so many kids in there that need help and just aren't ready for it. But I called him, and he actually brought me here to Calvary. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is a lot. This is a concert. This is huge. But, you know, he continued to work with me. And then, LifeQuest actually sent me on a surf trip out to, Saint Onofre, just by like Camp Pendleton. And, it was like one of the first times I really felt like the love of Christ. It was actually on my birthday, and they're like singing happy birthday to me. And I'm like, man, I just want to cry, because just the love of Christ.
Was that not an experience that you had had before?
No, I guess coming from like a broken home and in and out of foster care system and treatment centers, you know, you kind of just end up feeling like you're just getting passed along. Mm. And, you don't really experience the love of Christ outside of, you know, the people that, you know, God is using here and with LifeQuest. And so just truly being loved and cared for was huge. Like, my mom did a lot, but, you know, there's only so much you can do outside of knowing Christ. So. Mm.
John, you met this young man, and now he's working as a volunteer in your ministry. And what you've said already here in the first segment is that this new 413 project is going to take a lot of people.
It is, absolutely. Because the hope is we're launching this first session end of March. But, yeah, the hope is to replicate this all over the state of New Mexico, because it's not, it can be driven predominantly by volunteers. In fact, I anticipate we'll have areas of New Mexico that the entire 413 journey will be facilitated by volunteers. But the classes will be limited to 12 young people each class. So we want to make sure that we have people available to mentor those 12 mm-hmm. if they decide that's what they want and they want to go that direction. And one of the coolest things about doing relationships like this, and I can share this personally, young people that I may have talked to a year ago or 2 years ago might reach out when they hit a point where they're really struggling. They're not sure where to turn. And I'll get a text message or a phone call or a Facebook message at 2 a.m. Hey, John, could we get together? And I'm like, do you mean right now?
Yes.
No, tomorrow's fine. Okay. Young people stay up later than I do, but, that's the goal. The hope is that it's just making that connection, because here's what I know. Something good happened when I was meeting with that young man that he trusted enough that I was the place he reached out to a year later, and he kept my card. So that's important. And we don't get to decide when God starts invading people's lives. We don't get to decide when somebody comes to an end of themselves. I don't change anyone. One thing you do learn working with young people, it's God's timing in God's way. Our job is, as I said, love them, walk beside them, share truth with them, always in love, mm-hmm. and point them to Jesus. That's the reality. I have to tell you a funny story. I am almost brand new at LifeQuest, and one of my staff guys walks in and tells me, hey, man, I want to take this guy to surf camp. And I'm like, well, gee, that sounds pretty good. Can I go?
Yeah, really.
And it was, but Sean was the first young man that we were like, okay, we'll invest in this kid. We're really going to put some dollars into seeing his life change. And it happened. So and we do this constantly now where but Sean was kind of our, test subject, so to speak. And, we love Sean, and, what a blessing. But I've always said my vision for LifeQuest is 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I'd love to see the entire staff of LifeQuest be made up of former LifeQuest young people. Mm. I think that'd be awesome. So.
Well, and you've brought up, Chris Youngblood's name.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, you know, had the similar upbringing and has a heart for what you do, because it was mentors that got him through his difficult time.
Absolutely.
And you're all about mentoring. So we really need people that are listening, men and women,
mm-hmm.
to consider being a mentor. John, how do they get in touch with you if they want to volunteer?
Simply go to our website, which is lifequestusa.org. And everything you need to know about becoming a volunteer is on there. And especially right now, more importantly, if you're listening and you're like, man, this 413 journey would really benefit my son, my daughter, my niece, my nephew, my grandson, granddaughter, whoever, or if you're a young person listening, the application to become a part of the 413 journey is now up and running on the website also. And I would really encourage people, because again, this first class, we're going to limit to 12. So get in touch with us quickly. But also, volunteer application is on there. Or if you'd like to just call the phone number at LifeQuest, I'd be happy to come out. And I think we can actually sit down and have coffee again. Is
yes,
that correct?
Yes, you can. Okay. Isn't that a blessing?
I have no idea what color we are today. But anyway, I love to sit and talk with people and share the vision for the ministry, because it's about people. You know, we minister to a lot of kids every year, and we've only got 5 staff people, but we've always got 40 to 50 active volunteers. But with 413 journey, that number is going to need to grow exponentially.
Yes. So Sean, let's shift to you. You are a volunteer. Sounds like you're mentoring some people yourself now.
Yes, sir. I was actually trying to text one of the kids. I'm like, hey, you should do this program with me. But I've known this kid for like 3 years now. But you know, the biggest thing for me was having that mentor and having someone available. I didn't always want to talk to him because, you know, we're stubborn kids sometimes. Mm. But, you know, just being available for these kids does a lot because, you know, we go through times where we don't want to listen, but as long as that person's available, that can be enough to change their life. So.
I would use a word like normal because of my background and how I grew up, but that wouldn't be fair to say what's normal to you because your normal is a lot different. What would you say somebody like me needs to know about the way you grew up and what you faced?
I guess the biggest thing is not to assume based on your own normal. Just because, you know, even just in American culture, we're very, very blessed and we take so much for granted. And just to, you know, think with that aspect of maybe this person's dealing with something that I can't even understand and just be there to listen. You know, it's like the story of Job. It's like his friends, you know, were doing perfect until they opened their mouth and started assuming the things they didn't know. So just being available and just being there in the love of Christ.
Yeah, just stand with someone, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're so good to bring up Job's friends. I've always, no, that's really something that's on my heart. I've never wanted to be like Job's friends. I've told friends, and God's honored this. I've said, hey, I don't care, even if you're in sin, I'm standing with you. Now, I might have my hands around your throat, but I'm going to be hugging you or have my hands around your neck, one of the two, but both things are going to help you as we go through this. I'm not going anywhere. And that's, you know, I think that is so valuable. So I want to make sure people know the website. It's lifequestusa.org. You can sign up to be a volunteer. Mentoring is going to be on the new 413 journey is going to be quite an adventure. In the second half of our program, we're going to try to give you a picture of what it means to keep up with Chris Youngblood on a hiking trail or on a biking trail. But that'll be some fun that we'll have at Chris's expense a little bit later. John, I want to come back to you and say, how have you changed since you got involved with LifeQuest and you've been serving all these years?
Well, I would even go back to in the early years of my own recovery, coming out of a 10-year cocaine addiction, and having a gentleman who came alongside me and poured his life into me. A lot of people have asked me over the years why I do this, and my answer is always the same. I was sitting with this gentleman I'm speaking of one night. We were having coffee, and I looked at him. His name was Barry. I said, Barry, what do you want from me? And he got a confused look on his face, and he said, what do you mean? And I said, you take my calls at all hours of the day or night. You give up time with your wife and children, just like tonight, to sit here and have coffee with me and talk to me. You took time off work to come to court with me. What do you want from me? Nobody does something for nothing. And he kind of smiled and he said, you know, John, there is something I want from you. And I thought I knew it. Here it comes. He said, I want you to do this for somebody else someday. I want you to freely give away what you've been freely given. And God has used that. God broke my heart with that years ago. So here's what I would say to people that, you know, the question, how does it change you? And every time a young man asked me to mentor him and I sat and meet with him for the first time, he's like, well, I know you're really busy and I don't want to bother you. And I said, look, let me promise you something. I'm going to get 10 times more out of this than you are. And I know you don't understand that today, but if you keep walking this path, someday you will. Because we always use the phrase, you can't outgive God with regards to tithing and donations and things like that. But that applies to serving also. We can't outgive God. And as I work with a young person, or even some older people, because Sean's an old guy in our world now, but I can't outgive God. I am so blessed every time, and I'm challenged, and I'm forced to go back and dig into the Word for some answers to some questions I may be asked that I don't know. And if you haven't done this, I want to encourage your listeners. you're cheating yourself. You really are. I would so encourage you, and I hear this from volunteers all the time too. I don't think you can do that. And I'm like, you can't. You're right. But with God, you can. So I guess I'm just blessed and privileged to get to do what I do. I still learn more every day. I just came from a lunch. I was laughing, telling Sean, one of my staff's people's birthday, Cleo. Shout out to Cleo. It was her birthday yesterday. But Cleo and Esther, my office manager, and two girls from AGRC, the Girls Reintegration Center, all went over to Sadie's for lunch. What a blessing just to get to hang out together and talk about life and talk about God. And these girls came in today early, and they decorated Cleo's office for her to catch her by surprise, and they were so excited. And I had the chance to say to them, do you girls know why you're so excited and why you're so happy right now? And they're like, because we made Cleo happy? I said, you served Cleo today, and your will aligned with God's will, because we were created to serve. And I describe it as feeling God smiling inside of me. But to explain it, and these girls are like, wow, we didn't ever think about that. So just one of those opportunities, life lesson, but they found the joy of serving today. How cool is that?
That is really cool. John Jones is the president of LifeQuest. They are a ministry that has been working with incarcerated youth throughout New Mexico. They're hoping that they're going to keep kids out of jail and out
yes,
of being absolutely incarcerated.
They've
got a new project called the 413 Journey. We're going to find out more about it. We're joined also by Sean Meredith. Sean is a young man that went through LifeQuest and now is a volunteer with the organization. Part of our goal today is to hopefully get people calling that want to volunteer, and we're going to find out more about that from Sean. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8555.
People everywhere have a deep, God-given need to be loved. But sadly, sometimes the people who need love the most are the most rejected. Here's Skip Heitzig.
We all crave love. We will do sometimes almost anything to get it. To know that we are loved by somebody else unconditionally. No one did that better than Jesus. He loved the worst of sinners. He loved the best of saints. Jesus showed the love of God in human flesh.
We want to give you a glimpse of God's relentless love for all people, including you, by sending you the Jesus Loves People 4-booklet collection by Skip Heitzig. All 4 Jesus Loves People titles, including Jesus Loves the Broken, are our thanks for your gift of $25 or more today to help connect more people to God's love through His Word. Visit connectwithskip.com/offer to give online securely or call 800-922-1888.
Either way, you're going to pay. This is Roger Patterson with a Minute of Vision for Life. One of the most challenging lessons for young athletes to grasp is the need to pay the price to improve in the offseason. The players that embrace a challenging offseason see significant improvement because they pay the price a little bit each and every day so that they could get better. This is the pain of discipline. Other players who assume that all is well and unchanged often stroll into the offseason lacking discipline, focus, and effort. As a result, when camp rolls around, they're unprepared for what lies ahead, and they experience disappointment. There's pain associated with making right choices and with wrong ones. Proverbs 2:21 and 22 says, "For only the godly will live in the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be removed from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted." Choose your pain, discipline or disappointment. Remember, you can pay now or pay later, but either way, you're going to pay.
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with a Minute of Vision at visionforlife.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
With ABQ Connect, and we want to thank Dave Slade and Holly Slade at Dave Slade & Associates. Call them and their team when you are first thinking about buying a house or selling a home. 342-8100 is their number. Dave and Holly Slade at Dave Slade & Associates, doing business by the book, 342-8100, or reach them on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. The president of LifeQuest Ministries, John Jones, is in studio. Volunteer Sean Meredith is here. I want to ask, we're going to talk about volunteers because that's what Sean's doing. He's serving after taking advantage of the program, and it really blessed you. So I want to find out all about that and where you are now. But before I do that, I also want to tell John, I had a chance to talk with Sherita Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
We have Eric Lamb as one of the pastors at Calvary Church. Sherita is his wife. They've come on the program a couple of times now. But the last time she was here, she told us that she was a volunteer with your organization.
Yes, that's very true. I think Sherita probably started close to a year ago now and becoming involved. And it's so hard for new volunteers with the facilities closed. They can't even go in. They're doing everything either by Zoom or by phone. We're hoping that's going to change soon. Prayers, please, yes, from your listeners. Sherita's got such a heart for young ladies who are hurting and struggling, and that's what we look for. If you have a heart for broken people, and especially broken young people, here's the reality. Here's the truth. We've got the solution, Jim, because the solution is Jesus. And I say this all the time. The only hope for the young people in New Mexico is Jesus. That's the truth. And Sherita knows that. But Sherita also is very good at doing some practical things to help kids come to see their needs for Jesus and to help point them in that direction. So, we talk about this a lot at our training. Love and truth, love and truth, love and truth, but always love first. Because let's be honest, we can beat people bloody with the truth, right? Mm. And broken people don't need to be beat bloody. They already are. Mm. And I like to say that I believe love plows the fields of the hardened heart, so those seeds of truth can be planted. So that's what we try to do at LifeQuest. That's what we try to train our volunteers to do at LifeQuest. And I've just got awesome volunteers. I can't even begin to tell you.
I was thinking about the famous St. Francis of Assisi quote, "Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words."
Amen.
Because most of us, and I guess as a radio guy, I have to use words, but so many times just serving, being available, like Sean has already described, is so critical.
Warren Wiersbe, a great line. He said, love without truth is just sweet sentimentality, but truth without love is cruel. And I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah. Sean, I'm amazed by the things that I already know about you, and I've only met you 15 minutes ago. And I was teasing a little bit. That wasn't really teasing. I mean, I really see you as God's artwork, man. You know, God's brought you to a place where you're serving other people and you've been through some tough stuff. Now, your mentor, your buddy over here, said that you were like street art, not just artwork. So we had a laugh about that. But, Sean, tell us where you are today. Dreams. You got a family, and tell us about that.
Yeah, so I have a wife, Miss Willow. She's amazing. And still trying to figure that out and be selfless. That's hard. But we have a 18-month-old baby, Miss Lila. She's a treat. She's gonna be a handful. She's a lot like me, so it's gonna be a lot of fun. But I wouldn't have them if it wasn't for LifeQuest, for sure. Because, you know, just having this drive to seek Christ and better my own life has just brought me so much further than I think I could be without him and without Christ. For like ministry stuff, I'm really just focusing on LifeQuest. I've always been the type of person that's, so like when I was back here at Calvary, it was like skate church, then, you know, Velocity, and then over here and working at the bookstore. And I'm like, God's like, no, you can't do that. You have to focus on your family and focus on these kids. This is it. This is where you need to slow down and just really just pour into them the way that person spent most of their time pouring into you. So that's where I'm at ministry. Work-wise, I've been in like heavy equipment the last 4 years. So we just moved back from the Dallas area. Our wife's back in school to be a nuclear engineer. So I definitely married up. but that's hopefully, you know, God willing, you know, we're possibly work for LifeQuest in the future, but just trying to focus on what God really has for us right now in the moment. So.
Well, Miss Lila's going to take a little time, my friend. I have five children,
yeah,
and I always appreciate people. This is going to sound really weird, but I have friends of mine that have never had children, and I actually appreciate that they don't have children because they didn't want children. The ones that break my heart are the people that have children and they didn't want them, because I love them. I want to have all of them. If I could, and could afford it, I'd have all of them. And what you're really doing is you're taking children. You're taking somebody's children and you're loving on them and caring about them and being there for them. And that is a time commitment. That is a time of day commitment. Yeah. It's being available and giving an answer when somebody asks the reason of the hope that is in you. And you're doing that, and that's exciting. I'm excited that you have a dream maybe to serve in the ministry.
Yes.
And then maybe that's your vocation as well as what your calling is.
God's willing. I you know, pray it happens. If not, you know, God's in charge. So.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and you learn this if you've been part of Calvary, is it takes some work to know something about the Word. You know, you got to study, you got to pray, you got to fellowship, which you're getting plenty of that here. That sounds really cool. I hope this isn't offensive to you. I've always wanted to, like, you mentioned heavy equipment. I've always wanted to be on one of those big bulldozers and feel what that feels like. Is that pretty cool?
It is. I just, me being kind of clumsy, I'm like, please don't, like, hit a pipe.
Yeah, that would be... Yeah. Well, you actually, I know this just from being a homeowner, is you got to call the gas company and they got to come out and mark everything. What's funny is I have a friend of mine that the gas company came out and marked his yard. And sure enough, he went and dug right where they said it was okay to dig. And guess what? Yeah. There was a pipe.
Didn't mark that one.
Didn't mark that one. So, John, how do you interface still with the juvenile justice system? Do you work closely with the authorities?
Oh, absolutely. We've got a great relationship with CYFD Juvenile Justice. The superintendents, Tamara Mercantile, who is the director of facilities, just an awesome lady. And in fact, we are planning, we're praying, we're hoping, we do... a program called Ready for Life. We actually bring Scott Larson and two of his guys in from Straight Ahead Ministries in Boston and do a three-day seminar. We've done it once before, and we do 3 days at John Paul Taylor in Las Cruces and then 3 days at YDDC Camino. And it's such an impactful program for these young men. The very last exercise, the homework for the last night, is we want you to go home and write your story, but not like you usually write your story. We want to write your story 10 years from now, and you are the hero of that story. I mean, to help these guys envision what a healthy, happy, whole future can look like. Because when you're caught in just the desperation from day to day to day, when you are, you know, we talk about LifeQuest, mentoring a future and a hope. But I think one of the things in working with so many of our young people, and Sean, you might back me up on this, is there's true hopelessness. I mean, it you get caught up in the drug lifestyle, whether it's addiction or whether it's selling or whatever the case may be. And this is all you can see in front of you. You have no hope. And that's what, you know, hearing Sean's story, sharing my story, and, you know, we're nothing special beyond the fact that Christ died for us, but there's a lot of people with stories just like us that can talk about being in a very dark place, and then God stepped in and changed that. And that's always the message for the kids, is providing that hope that it doesn't have to stay this way.
Yeah. Sean, what did hopelessness look like for you?
I guess for me, hopelessness was really just staying in my own insanity, just trying to repeat the same actions and expecting a different outcome. I feel like a big thing with the youth is so many people come from divorce homes and brokenness and have grown up around addiction. Like, I don't think there's not very many places like Albuquerque where it doesn't really matter your status. You know, someone who's probably overdosed or died. And that's just the society that we live in. And when the parents, let alone the kids, don't know how to find joy in the darkness, like, you just end up running into walls. And but yeah, it's really, I guess, knowing where to grow from there.
Yeah. Sean Meredith, he is a volunteer with LifeQuest Ministries, along with their president, John Jones, in studio with me this afternoon. We have one more segment with these gentlemen. We're going to be back to talk a little bit more about the 413 journey, some of the exciting, great outdoors that you hope to be seeing as part of that ministry. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In.
Can he talk? Okay, that's not really talking, but still!
If you've ever wondered, why isn't there a squirrel superhero flick, the new Disney Plus movie Flora and Ulysses answers that question. 10-year-old Flora is having a hard time. Her dad is struggling in his job as a comic book artist, and her parents are about to split up. That's when Flora sees a squirrel get sucked into a robotic vacuum cleaner. She rescues the critter, which she names Ulysses, and soon discovers that he's now got superpowers. Flora and Ulysses includes some mild peril and a bit of innuendo. Mostly, though, it delivers upbeat messages about love, family, and perseverance. So we're giving it a 4 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Adam Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
Dr. Tony Evans says even when your financial security dries up and disappears, your real source is as reliable as ever. He'll explain as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
I love Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 because he says God will keep you from worrying in a drought. A drought is when there is no rain, so there is no growth. A drought is when the work stops, when the pink slips are being handed out. He says he will keep you from worrying in a drought. When we built this building, some of you remember this, we got down to $15,000. We didn't have enough to cover the funds to operate for the next month. And we had to believe that because the Father had endorsed what we were doing it, the Father was going to cover it. And see, all you got to do is see God do this a couple of times. Because see, once you see God do something a couple of times, and it dawns on you who you're dealing with, your daddy knows where you are, how you got there, and what you need. He knows how to arrange things, rearrange things, flip things, tweak things, trip things. He knows how to do it. So that you can see he is God. In spite of the concern. Don't deny the concern. But you sing because you got a daddy. And your daddy is fully aware of what you're dealing with. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things.
Check out Tony's CDs.
Afternoon in the Duke City. About, what, 55 degrees outside today?
Beautiful.
It's not bad. We went through a little snow a couple weeks ago. I don't know. We never know as we're getting into the first couple weeks of March. I've seen it snow in March as much as I've seen it snow in January and February, but I, for one, I'm glad COVID is dating. I'm glad we're back to at least 25%. I don't remember if
we
ever had to do that.
I don't think we ever did that. No.
So I had to do that with a lot of guests during a certain period, and that was just not as fun because I didn't get to see your smiling faces. And that leads me into my question, John. You sound like you were having a lot of fun. Cocaine, drinking, and those kind of things. Did the fun end when you became a Christian?
That's a funny question because that's absolutely what I thought. In fact, I tell people my leap of faith was like stepping off a curb because truly this was the prayer I prayed. Okay, God, if I have to live this dull, boring life you have planned for me, if that's the only way I can live, I guess I'll do it. Boy, wasn't that a massive prayer of surrender, Jim. but that's what I thought. It's what I believed. I had no idea what was in store for me. And I have a life worth living today. Back to the relationship. When it all burns away, when there's nothing left, I think the only thing that's going to matter is my relationship with God and my relationship with other people. That's all. And I am so blessed. I have had the opportunity to be a part of seeing some adults' life changed through my recovery work I've done. And now I get to see young people's lives change through my LifeQuest ministry. What's better than that? What is? Tell me what the value is of one life for eternity. Mm-hmm. If anybody can put a number on that, I know the number God put on it. It was infinite because Christ died so that could happen. So just had that conversation, the two girls I was telling you earlier, we had at lunch today. We were talking about Easter coming up and about maybe we would watch the Passion of the Christ together. And they're like, oh, I saw that and I cried. And it's like, well, good. Maybe you'll have a different understanding this time as we watch it. So really excited about, we're going to do that on Good Friday. So that'll be fun. But am I having fun? I'm having a ball. Okay.
Well, and the 413 journey is really about getting out in the great outdoors, it sounds like. You mentioned rappelling and hiking and biking and what
exactly.
Else?
Yeah. Well, it is. It's hiking and the ropes courses. And, you know, we're contracting with the Santa Fe Mountain Center that has those facilities. And then we'll do, outdoors for me is walking from my home to my car. Okay. So, but the people that are involved, in fact, we went up for kind of a day of what it would be like with the young people. And part of that was, climbing the rock wall, which, by the way, Sean scampered right to the top. He was so impressive. I got up four boards, then fell off and took out my staff person from Las Cruces right next to me. And, it was awesome. But no, we're going to have a lot of fun. There's nothing wrong with having, right? And we're going to have fun. And for anybody, any of the young people who complete the 413 journey, starting in 2022, every spring and every fall, we're going to have a capstone of, which will be a hike of the Grand Canyon. Now, I wish, and I have to tell you, I don't know if there's any such thing as a spiritual place, but every time I've been at the Grand Canyon, it just sends chills down my spine. God's creation, it's amazing. And I can't even begin to talk about it like Chris talks about it, but any cat wants to be a part of this, will have the opportunity to go hike the Grand Canyon. So I think that's very exciting. Chris describes it as a life-changing event, and I'm sure it is.
And I'm going to go to Sean in just a minute, mm-hmm. and I'm going to reference Chris Youngblood, who's one of your board directors. He's the chairman of your board mm-hmm. and
yes,
all of
he
this.
Is.
I think he might be kind of a maniac, but that'll come up here in the next few minutes. John, before we go to that, I want to ask you about a term that you've taught me. It's called generational incarceration.
Yes.
Do you think this new 413 journey and stuff will prevent or help to prevent generational incarceration?
Absolutely. Because generational incarceration is all about one thing. It's what people know. I mean, if you up going and visiting mom, dad, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa that is locked up and been doing that since you're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, we talked about the word normal before. Mm-hmm. That's your normal. Getting locked up is not a big deal. These relationships we're talking about building through 413, and to say to a young person, that's not okay. That's not God's desire for your life. That's not what he wants. And yes, I think we can certainly impact generational incarceration through the 413 journey.
So, Sean, you're a young guy. You're a volunteer. You're going to have a young person with you on a Grand Canyon hike, and you're going to be trying to keep up with Chris Youngblood. Any problem with that?
Yeah, Chris is not human. That's the problem. I was thinking about that, and just like I could climb the wall really quick in Santa Fe, but Chris is like flying up the wall. Like I don't even think he touched it.
Didn't he do it blindfolded too?
He was going to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just, man, he is just such an athlete and has such a drive, and he's just one focused and dedicated man that I've ever met. And,
but you know what he would tell you too? He would tell any of us, and he'll even tell you, you guys can be just like this. You just got to get out and do it.
That's what he says.
And get out and do it. And that's really what I love. I hear a call to go out and enjoy this beautiful, beautiful state that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And the 413 journey is going to do that. In the midst of that, you're going to require these young people to do some work. Yeah. And you already mentioned at the top of our hour when we started, you mentioned that there was some discipline involved. There was somebody was pushing you. How did that help you?
Well, I feel like we limit ourselves, and especially coming from the environments that, you know, kids like I have come from, you know, it's like, you're not enough. You stay in this environment. You are what you came from. You know, I feel like all those sayings we just limit ourselves, and God made us all uniquely. And these mentors at LifeQuest, you know, our hope is to show kids that you don't have to continue in this pattern. You can be better than what you were before. You know, same thing I want for Lila. I want her to do so much with her life. And it's my job as a mentor and as a father to push her to that. And that's what we hope to do for these kids.
I can't help but think about what the Bible talks about. We must be born again.
Amen.
We're literally new creatures. And that means not just spiritually, but, man, we can go bomb a hill on a mountain bike, even though we've never done that before. Now, you need a little training, need a little practice. And I know Chris Youngblood is the kind of guy that wants to get people to join him on the trail, so he'll probably be a good teacher for all of that. John, are you excited to go on some hikes?
Am I going on hikes? I am beyond excited. When you're in the facilities constantly working with those same people. In fact, quick story, I was doing a recovery group that I do one night in one of the facilities. And one of the young men was sharing his story and his background and sharing that his dad taught him to shoot heroin when he was 12 years old. And, but just the brokenness. I mean, what chance did that young man have, right? But literally driving home, I'm tears pouring down my face. I'm just like, God, what do we do? How do we get to these kids before? How do we get to these kids before this happens? And I think for the vision that God gave Chris for 413 is the answer to that question. How do we get to these kids before? Now, is it going to help kids that have already been in the system and you've been released now? And yes, it'll help them too. It's going to run the gamut because, I believe I read somewhere that love never fails. And so we're going to love these kids. I don't care whether they're a quote unquote normal school kid, whether they're in probation, whether they're locked up, whether they're coming out of lockup. We're going to love these kids. We're going to walk beside them and we're going to point them to Jesus. That's it.
And I pray God blesses LifeQuest and the new 413 journey starts up next month. Sean Meredith, John Jones, thank you so much for joining us today.
Come sign up at the website, please.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT, management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.